Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to everyone here this morning. So this week is Christmas week, and I'm not sure if you would call this a Christmas message or not, but we will definitely be looking at Jesus and his life. I would like to start out by turning to Luke 2. And reading the Christmas story. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 2. While you're turning there, I will write the title on the board. We would see Jesus, and in case you're concerned about that "see" there, I think you'll understand it till we get done here. Let's read from Luke chapter 2. We'll read through verse 40. And children, please follow along with this story. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So that's the story of Jesus' birth, and it's an amazing story all these years later. And one of the things about a baby is, even only after they're several days old, if you don't start to see some very distinct developments in that baby, we become very alarmed. And so what a shame if we keep Jesus as a undeveloped cute little baby on Christmas Day or at Christmas, rather than the anointed king that he was sent to be. So what we're going to do here is look at, I believe I have 14 C words related to Jesus. And I'm going to need 12 young men to help me with this morning. And probably partway through you'll figure out why I chose 12 young men. I didn't count how far back we need to go, but I think we have that many here. Okay, yes, we do. So, you don't have a microphone back there, and so I'm going to ask you to come up, and I thought about having y'all 12 come up here the whole time, but that might be a little much. So we'll ease back on that a little bit. But what I would like to do is have you come four at a time, and you will help with this. So maybe we'll start with some of the older boys first rather than the younger ones. Let's have Leon, Andrew, Jaden, come up bring your Bible. Make sure you bring your Bibles with you and sit on the bench up here behind me. I'm going to ask you to read some verses, and when I ask you to read that, you'll give the reference and you'll come to the mic and give the reference and then read whatever verse you're assigned. Okay, so the first one, let's have Leon. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The first C word is Christ. So in Greek, it is Christos, or it means King, God's anointed one. And so, Simeon said that in this account we read, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death until he had seeing the Lord's Christ, is the way it's listed there. So if we would see Jesus today, we will acknowledge him as the Lord's Christ, or the King, God's anointed one. The next C word I have is cradle. And Leon, you can look up Hebrews chapter 4 and you will read verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. So, Jesus came as God in human form. He was born of a woman. And let's see what Hebrews chapter 4 says about that and how it affects us today. Go ahead, Leon.
Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay, thank you. Jesus humbled himself and became in your and my likeness and identified himself with the problems of the human race, or any problem that any of us face, he was tempted with as we are. So today, if we would see Jesus, we will believe that he understands our humanity. The next one is carpenter. That reference is, Jaden, if you'll read Mark 6, verses 1 through 6. Go ahead when you're ready. Mark 6, verses 1 through 6.
Mark 6, 1 through 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he has given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joses, and of Judah, and Simeon, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching.
Thank you. So Jesus was a carpenter. In Luke 2, it talks about Jesus as a 12-year-old boy talking with the religious men there in the temple. And it says that after he was lost and his parents looked for him for a few days, and then after he was found, it says he went home with his parents and was subject unto them. And then in Luke chapter 3, it says he was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. So between the age of 12 and 30, 18 years of his prime youth and adult life, it would, from all that I could find or the information I have, he was living at home with his parents, being subject to them, and working in his dad's carpenter shop. The only piece of information in that time frame that I found was that somewhere in there he was baptized by John the Baptist. So if we would see Jesus today, we will work or serve in our home, business, for dad, whatever our work is. Okay, the next one is call. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 18, Jaden, that will be yours. And we'll have another one on this. Andrew, yours will be Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. So, Jaden, if you'll come forward and read Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 18.
Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 18.
Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simeon and Andrew, his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him.
Okay, thank you.
So this was their call. Jesus called these men, said, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Jesus' ministry began with a call to discipleship, and it ended with a command for us to make disciples. And the 3 years in between in his ministry was a relentless effort to make disciples. Okay, Andrew, will you come forward and read Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14?
Chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Those two verses.
And
it's over here. Right there. Right here, 13.
And he's cast up onto a mountain and called unto them, rushed them he could, and they say, "Come unto him." And he felt that they should be with him, and that he might send him forth to preach.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, boys. You can go back to your seat there. And let's have the next four come forward. So Harlan, Kirby, Jared, and Grant. Okay, so the verse Andrew read there in Mark chapter 3, there's something very noteworthy in that, where it says in verse 14, he called the men and they came unto him. And in verse 14 it says he ordained 12 that they should be with him. And part of the call that Jesus gives is that they might be with him. So these men, from our study of Jesus' life with his disciples, they ate together, they walked, slept, fished, talked, sang together. And we're not talking about just 2 or 3 hours a week or even a day. I believe that they were together all day, every day. They were with him. And this is a growing burden I have on my heart, that if we are going to help each other see Jesus, we need to spend time together more than just several hours a week, Sunday morning at church or whatever. If you think about what 10 days of Bible school does for youth and relationships and what it can do for your personal growth in your Christian life, or say a month of CAS for you boys, there's something that happens with that intensity of discipling and sharing together. But we'll stop with that. It's a subject for another day. But if we would see Jesus, we will answer the call to be discipled and to disciple. The next one I have is come. So Harlan, if you'll read Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Go ahead when you're ready.
Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
So this is the invitation to come to Jesus, just as you are. Jesus says, I have what you are longing for. Come and learn of me. How are you going to learn of him if you aren't with him every day? Another place that Jesus gives an invitation to come, Luke 18 says, to suffer the little children to come unto me. And not only does he say to come, but he says that unless we receive Jesus like little children do, we will not enter God's kingdom. And I thought about that this morning when we were here in Sunday school and you could hear the children's class singing. Are we hard after God singing the way those children were in their Sunday school class? Or not only singing, but living, seeking Jesus like they were with the zeal that they sang their song in Sunday school. So if we would see Jesus today, we will come at his invitation. The next one is cost. Kirby, Luke chapter 14, you'll read verse 25 to 28 and then verse 33. Luke 14, 25 to 28 and verse 33.
Luke 14, 25 to 28 and 33. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
Thank you. So Jesus urged people to count the cost of following him. And today, as his followers, it's our duty to urge each other to count the cost. And this cost includes denying myself. It includes forsaking sin. It includes a willingness to be pushed out of our comfort zones. So if we would see Jesus today, we will count the cost. The next one is choice. This reference is in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. So Jared, if you'll read Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18.
Daniel 3:16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up.
So as with these three young men, each of us needs to make a choice, yes or no. The devil wants us to believe that we can say, well, maybe, or I'll wait and see if how it works out for someone else, or how things are going, I'll wait and see to decide if I'll commit or not. Or maybe the devil will convince us that it's okay to go ahead and kneel with the rest of the crowd, but I won't actually worship the image. I don't want to make a stir, so I'm going to kneel but not actually worship. Each of us is either making a choice to bow down to the things of the world that please the flesh, or we're bowing down before the true and living God. And each of us will live through eternity with that choice we make. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, not every decision in life is as simple as yes or no, or a major decision like we just talked about. There's this quote that says it this way about our daily lives: small choices repeated daily shape our character more profoundly than major one-time decisions. I'll read that again. Small choices repeated daily shape our character more profoundly than major one-time decisions. If we would see Jesus today, we will choose God. Okay, the next one is cross. Grant, you'll read Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24.
Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Thank you. Okay, thank you, young men. You're welcome to go back to your seats. All right. Let's have Denley through Troy come up next. Okay, so the cross. Jesus said, if he doesn't take up his cross, he cannot be my disciple. What do you think these men knew about cross-bearing anyway? How much sense did take up your cross make? Have you ever thought about that? We know what Jesus meant in our day because we knew what Jesus did with the cross. But what did it mean to those men? I don't know. Jesus also said to the rich young ruler, "Sell what you have and give to the poor and take up your cross and come follow me." I don't know what that meant to those men, but hopefully we know what it means to us today. So let's have Denley, you'll read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3.
Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. "Wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be worried and faint in your minds."
Thank you. Look to Jesus for the key in joyful cross-bearing. It says, because he knew what was coming after, he endured the cross. So we need to look beyond as Jesus did. If we would see Jesus today, we will bear our cross joyfully. The next one I have is crucified. Ken, you will read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 through 10.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 through 10. But we spake the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto this by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Thank you. So if we are... I was going to read another verse here too. Josiah, you'll look up Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's right after 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 20.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, who loved me, and gave himself for me.
Thank you. So, if we are crucified with Christ, as it says there in Galatians chapter 2, we will surrender even if it doesn't make a lick of sense from the human standpoint. And if you think about those verses, what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about Jesus and his crucifixion. Let me just turn there. In verse 8 it says, if the princes of this world knew, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if you had been Jesus' friend at his crucifixion, and maybe you were also a friend of Pilate, and you had enough clout with Pilate to influence him to stop the crowd, your motive would have been 100% pure, right? Jesus was not worthy to die. He had done nothing wrong. We can't dare to let him die like this. Let's say you got the point through to Pilate, and he stopped the mob and rescued Jesus. Now what? Your righteous motive kept God's plan for man's redemption from following through. And now look whose side it put you on. Says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If we would see Jesus today, we will be crucified with him. The next one is new creature. I didn't want to just call us creatures, so I called it new creature. So that one hardly starts with C, but creature does. So... Troy, you will look up 2 Corinthians 5, and you'll read verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18.
Second Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things that are
of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation.
Okay, thank you. All right, you may go back to your other seat. Thank you, young men, for helping out that way. A new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I thought of that song that says something like this. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. If we would see Jesus today, we will be a new creature. The next one is crown. In John 19, verse 5, it talks about Jesus' crown of thorns. But in Revelation 14, it talks about Jesus wearing a crown of gold. I would like to turn to James chapter 1 and see what the Bible says about our crown. In James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. So we are promised a crown if we remain faithful to the end. So if you would see Jesus today, you will crown him King of Kings. Okay, the next one I have is church. Ephesians chapter 1, there's a couple verses there. I wasn't sure how much to read there, but we'll just read 22 and 23. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, talking about Jesus, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus is the head, the church is the body. If we would see Jesus today, we will be part of his body, or the church. Okay, we talked about this one in Sunday school some, confident conquerors. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember Jesus and what it said about him in enduring the cross. It said for the joy that was set before him. The way we will be more than conquerors or confident conquerors in God's strength is we will look beyond the hardship or the temptation or the trial we are facing at the moment. There's this quote, it goes something like this, you can choose your path and accept the destination, or you can choose your destination and accept the path. And another quote from a song, when you don't understand, when you can't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So if we would see Jesus today, we will be more than conquerors. Okay, and the last one I have is continue in Christ. And that one is in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 to 29, it says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death
to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which hath given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, I don't know if I should be as confident as to say this as Paul did, but he said, and this is my desire, that as your leader, I can present you, I can present this message that Paul explained out here, the riches of the glory of the mystery that is given to us through Christ Jesus. And because of this, we preach and we teach and we make disciples and we help each other to be disciples. And in the end of verse 28, here's why we do this, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So in spite of our humanity, in spite of being carpenters and farmers and teachers and housekeepers, in spite of our humanity and temptations and struggles, every man can be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. So since we have seen Jesus today, I hope our testimony can be like Simeon's when he held baby Jesus in his arms and he said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let's kneel for prayer.